Well, hello and howdy, listeners. Welcome back to another exciting week here at Dan's Dabble in Babble. I am, of course, your host, Dan Burkett. I'm so excited that you have come back for another week as I experiment with this solo babble that I've really come to take a shining to. Almost as much as old-timey phrases, because, you know, after all, I am just a chemistry teacher that seeks old-fashioned good times. Whatever that may mean to you. So, this week, I'm recording this and will likely release this on October 24th, so we have a week until Halloween, and I always have a lot of thoughts when it comes to Halloween. There's a lot of nostalgia, I think, that everybody experiences with Halloween because, you know, it's such a holiday for children, and I think it's really important as we go into this conversation that we all recognize that Halloween really is for children. So, even as a kid, I remember thinking it was bizarre when I would see adults that would be super into Halloween. And, you know, there's one thing if you like to decorate your house, decorate your yard, and go all out. I mean, whatever makes you happy, and if that is the vibe that you want to ride, then by all means, I think that's great. I think it makes the entire majesty of the holiday that much more exciting for children and for everybody. I mean, it's just because the holiday is for children doesn't mean that it shouldn't be enjoyable for other folks as well. But I do think it's a bit bizarre when some adults are just so into Halloween, you know. And there's one thing of like, if you, especially if you're an adult with children and you want to find an excuse to throw on a costume, you know, that's great. And then, of course, there's the college years and that experience of, you know, Halloween is an excuse to get wild. And in college, it's kind of that transition point where you're really in the thick of the semester, but it's kind of you're about ready to shift gears to, you know, semester-long projects and papers are going to be coming due right around the corner. But around Halloween, you really don't necessarily have those pressures yet, so it's an excuse to, you know, go wild and act however you're gonna act. But I do think it's a bit bizarre when people make their entire personality like just so much about being into Halloween. And again, ultimately, do what you want to do. I mean, if that is what makes you happy and you want to live in the cobwebs and embrace your inner witch for the entire month of October, then who am I but a lowly podcast host to stop you from that? But all of this is a preamble to, you know, what I really enjoy about Halloween is I have complex feelings about Halloween, and a lot of that stems from the fact that my birthday is November 2nd. So those of you that are quick at math will recognize that is 2 days after Halloween. And I was very cantankerous as a child about this. I really would beg my mom to have all of the Halloween decorations completely put away by November 2nd because, you know, I am a fall child. I absolutely love the fall. November 2nd, I really think, is objectively the best time to have a birthday. Growing up in the Midwest, the weather was still it's still enjoyable. It was, you know, you would have that chill in the air of a nice fall day, but you could certainly still be outside and enjoy things. It's really kind of peak bonfire season most of the time. Just great fall vibes. But also, it just is really kind of the perfect kickoff to the holiday season because, you know, you start, you're in November, you're in the peak of fall, you have this great fun for your birthday, and then just around the corner is Thanksgiving, and then, of course, all of the winter holidays, Christmas, New Year's, all of that. So it's just like to have your birthday kind of at the front end of that. I've always just thought that was really cool. Like, I again, objectively, November 2nd, great day for a birthday. But I am certainly not at all a big Halloween person. I have fun every now and then coming up with a costume. But it's the social media of it all, I think, has put so much artificial pressure on that too. And the thing is there's all of these recycled ideas that, you know, get circled around the Instagrams, the Reddits, the Twitter. And, you know, everyone comes up with these ideas that they think they're very clever. And it's if it's an authentic idea and you know, you want to have fun with it, that's great. My personal favorite costume, which I may be reprising this year if I have the opportunity, is when I was living in Milwaukee, I went as a bottle of Dawn dish soap. So I have these custom glasses from my time as a glasses model that have these just blue rims. They're really bold. I really, quite frankly, was disappointed, but they were given to me for this ad campaign. And you know, they are completely custom framed, so that part is cool. But I was just kind of like, maybe you could have given me something that you know, I would actually want to wear on a daily basis. But it worked really well for this costume, because I wore a blue sweatshirt, blue sweatpants, and just printed off the Dawn label and literally just stapled it to my sweatshirt, and ended up winning a dance competition with the whopping prize of a free beer. So you know, it pays to go out dressed as Dawn dish soap every once in a while, I guess, is the moral of the story. I you know, the moral of it all is up for debate. I'll let you draw your own conclusions there. But anyway, the things that I always really enjoyed about the holiday and the holidays in general as a child, but especially Halloween, is the media. And you know, certainly when I was in college, you know, around this time, it was always a big horror movie time of the year. And I will just say, I'm not a big horror movie person. They just don't really have a big impact on me. I mean, it's you know, I'm down for a good horror movie. But it's not like I'm like it really ever anticipating a great horror movie. I mean, the original Halloween, I did enjoy. That's maybe the most memorable horror movie that I've watched. The movie You're Next is another great one that comes to mind. I mean, there are certainly I've seen lots of horror movies, seen lots of very good horror movies. But ultimately, it's like that's you know, I don't get too terribly excited about that, which is, I know, a big draw for a lot of people in this time of year is, you know, those great horror movies. And again, certainly not opposed, but you know, I love the fun aspects of Halloween. I love you know, a good Harry Potter movie marathon this time of year, which, I mean, of course, Harry Potter is year round, it's timeless, but certainly the magic elements and all of that just fits in with the season very well. What I really find myself coming back to every year is to me what is the quintessential Halloween movie franchise, and you know, a lot of people along these lines, there's a big cult fandom of Hocus Pocus, and I somehow escaped Hocus Pocus for a very long time. I was in grad school the first time that I watched Hocus Pocus, and I ended up loving Hocus Pocus. I mean, it has its reputation for a reason, right? Like, so don't misconstrue what I'm saying when it comes to that. However, it's just like that is not like if I don't see Hocus Pocus in a year, it's okay. Like, there are bigger fish to fry when it comes to Halloween movie extravaganzas. And so the quintessential franchise I am of course talking about is the Disney Channel original movie franchise Halloween Town. And it this I really think stands the test of time. And something about Disney Channel originals that I think there's a certain amount of shame involved in talking about Disney Channel original movies, DCOMs, for those of us that know. But you know, listen, I found myself all the time just getting sucked into a good DCOM, and you know, there's just so many classics. There's of course, Pixel Perfect is the one that I always go to. It is to me such an underrated film. Raviv Ullman, which I still, you know, the whole Ricky Ullman of it all. Raviv Ullman, I don't pretend to know everything that went into Raviv Ullman deciding to go by Ricky when he was on Disney Channel days. I kind of presume that it was to make him more palatable to Disney Channel audiences. I don't know, but listen, I mean, a bigger Ricky Ullman fan than me, you will not find. He is, I mean, Phil of the Future is cornerstone media. It is such an important an important entry in the annals of Disney Channel history. And certainly Pixel Perfect is the same. And with Disney Channel original movies in general, there is, you know, kind of this embarrassment and the shame that kind of comes along with openly talking about being a fan of the Disney Channel original movies. And I really have to push back on that. I mean, when you look back at some Disney Channel original movies, I mean, if you look at the Cheetah Girls as another example, like, I'm not gonna lie, I was a huge fan of Cheetah Girls 1 and 2. Cheetah Girls 2, the whole Barcelona adventure, I mean, incredible movie. Cheetah Girls One World, we don't really need to talk about, but I mean, let's also remember that the Cheetah Girls was executive produced by Whitney Houston. I mean, it's yes, it was a Disney Channel original movie made for TV, but it's not like it was, you know, a totally phoned in either. I mean, the Cheetah Girls were the Cheetah Girls were a thing. I mean, they went on to have successful concert tours, and they really became much more legitimate than I would have anticipated the Cheetah Girls would have ever been. So, you know, and then when we get to the Halloween Towns, let's remember who the star is here. I mean, it has Debbie Reynolds. And Debbie Reynolds has such a fascinating life story, and really just a kind of an unfortunate life story. But you know, one of the amazing things that I think of with Debbie Reynolds' career is just her constant need to work, and I do intentionally kind of classify that as a need. Because those of you who are not necessarily familiar with Debbie Reynolds may not be aware that she of course her first big breakout role, I believe, was the in Singing in the Rain, which is on a side note, very instrumental in my life. I saw Singing in the Rain, I think, the summer between my freshman and sophomore year of college, and you know, I've had long been a Gene Kelly fan, An American in Paris is, you know, one of my all-time favorite movies. The American in Paris ballet is just beyond, masterpiece doesn't even begin to describe it. It is, I think, you know, that old Hollywood flair that we get in American in Paris is really something that I really long for. And one of the reasons why I was so excited for La La Land was I thought La La Land was attempting to give us that big old Hollywood movie musical. And say what you will about La La Land, I think it was an enjoyable movie, but just not what I had anticipated. But I digress. After seeing Singing in the Rain, that convinced me to sign up for tap classes, and that is when I started taking dance classes. I was two classes short of getting my dance minor in college, all because of Singing in the Rain, which of course launched Debbie Reynolds. And you know, she worked hard. She had several marriages. But she really tried to have some business ventures and ended up buying the Clarion Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. And so she bought that in 1992. That was not successful. She really lost everything in that and had to declare bankruptcy in 1997. Which was about the time that she would, I believe in 1998, is when she would first make her appearance as Grace Adler's mother in of course, Will and Grace, which is, without a doubt, the greatest sitcom. And then shortly after making the appearance as Mrs. Adler on Will and Grace, in 1998, she would also star in Halloween Town. So, you know, in a way, I think if the business ventures had been more successful, who knows what her career would have become, and who would have been in Halloween Town, who would have been Mrs. Adler. So, you know, the media that we get from it, you know, it's unfortunate, certainly, that that was the trajectory of her career. But selfishly, to get Debbie Reynolds content, such prime Debbie Reynolds content in the late 90s, early 2000s, just an amazing turn of events, an amazing career. But there is just something about Halloween Town that is spectacular and really captures, you know, the childlike wonder, the childlike joy of the Halloween season. It is, you know, it's fantasy that is believable. The world that is produced is just so fun and charming and magical, and just so full of acceptance and love, and it's a movie so full of heart, but also there are many questions. So of course, Halloween Town, the series opens up with the Piper children being frustrated that they're never allowed to go out on Halloween. Marnie, a budding 13-year-old, it really wants to go to a costume party, and the mother absolutely refuses. And the grandmother comes and visits once a year on Halloween, but has to leave every year on Halloween, which, I mean, let's just evaluate that for a moment. The absurdity of only being able to see your grandma once a year, and it's on Halloween. I mean, it's how strange. You don't see her on Thanksgiving. You don't see her on Christmas. You're never able to visit her, but she shows up on Halloween and has all of this, all of these fun things to play with her grandkids with. And Gwen, which is Marty's mother, has she grew up, her father was not a witch. Her mother, Aggie, of course, played by Debbie Reynolds, was, and Gwen does not want to partake in the magical life. And Aggie is really intent this year that if Marnie doesn't begin her training, she'll never have the opportunity to become a witch. And that's kind of the kickoff here. Crux of this is then that ultimately the Piper children, when Aggie has to go back to Halloween Town, Dylan and Marnie follow her and end up hitching a ride to Halloween Town. And so they discover their life of magic and all of this. And the kind of long story short of the first movie is the mother comes and is angry, tries to take her children back, can't get a ticket back, realizes that her ex-boyfriend is now the mayor of Halloween Town, and is casting a spell on everybody that freezes them in time, and then ultimately they are able to light a talisman that Aggie was having trouble with to reverse the spell. The first one ends with Aggie deciding to come stay with her grandchildren in the mortal world so that Marnie can continue to be trained as a witch. So the first movie is really a nice introduction to this Halloween Town world. It's really fun. It's just really, you know, it's just really simple and cute and charming. But the first Halloween Town I ever saw was actually the second, Calabar's Revenge, which I think is, I do think that this is an example where the sequels generally get better, and in Halloween Town 2, that's, you know, the Marnie is a bit more developed as a witch. They return to Halloween Town. It's Calabar's Revenge, and so Calabar is casting a spell on everyone that turns them into these golem statues, and you know, there's just a lot more world building. But the really remarkable movies in the Halloween Town franchise, I think, are the third and fourth. The Return to Halloween Town, or sorry, Halloween Town High, and then Return to Halloween Town. Now, Halloween Town High is such an interesting story. So it really is, in some ways it's the worst of the four movies, and in other ways it is just so good. So Debbie Reynolds comes to the high school that Marnie is attending, and the Halloween Town Council, which we've never seen before, is working with Marnie, or working against Marnie, who wants to have open travel between Halloween Town and the mortal world. So the council brings up that there's this legend of the Knights of the Iron Dagger, who are wanting to destroy all things magic. But ultimately, they come up with this exchange program where they have all of these different beasts that are then allowed to attend the mortal high school under the guidance and supervision of Marnie and Aggie. It's just, it's such a ridiculous movie because Aggie is just kind of put in a sub and just like all of these different classes. It's really just such a strange, strange, concept. the imitable Lucas Grabeel has a big role. He ultimately is revealed that he had to give up his family magic because of some curse. Those details are fuzzy, but it's really just a strange thing. But ultimately, there's some sabotage involved, but ultimately they open the portal between the mortal world and Halloween Town, which brings us to Return to Halloween Town, which is the fourth and final installment in the series. So Kimberly J. Brown is replaced as Marnie with Sarah Paxton, and she is going to attend Witch University in Halloween Town. We still get Debbie Reynolds, we still get Lucas Grabeel, everybody else from the original franchise really is there. And so Marnie has gotten this full scholarship to the Witch University, and basically it's just such a departure from everything the original three Halloween Town movies were. It's you know, somewhat a Harry Potter ripoff, but really is just such a remarkably fun little jaunt. And there's lots of mysteries, of course, in the Witch University are strange. So the biggest thing that is kind of a big question mark is that the witches and warlocks can't use magic, but they are learning about magic history. They learn Shakespeare. Ethan, which is Lucas Grabeel, comes along, and then she has a friend, or she befriends a genie, which is so interesting. But then there are these three sinister sisters that are just like snobby, and they are able to get around the no magic rules. And what makes it more interesting is that the university was established for warlocks and witches to learn how to use magic, but because of the portal now being opened between Halloween Town and the mortal world, Witch University allowed all kinds of creatures to attend, so then it wasn't fair for the witches and warlocks to be able to use magic. So that's kind of the undercurrent here, is that a lot of people blame Marnie for this because she is the one that ultimately opened the portal, and it's just kind of a very thin plot device, but is, you know, interesting. So that's really my experience with the Halloween Town movies. You know, it's I do think I'm gonna have a little bit of a Halloween Town marathon today, to refresh all of this. But you know, that to me is the Halloween spirit, or just, you know, these cheesy generic movies. I watched Muppet Haunted Mansion earlier this week. I mean, listen, who doesn't love a good Muppet jaunt? So I encourage you in this last week until Halloween, to, you know, just ride the vibe, find some good nostalgic, just fun magic movies. Is, you know, that is what this season is about, is embracing that magic, embracing that excitement. So thank you so much for another exciting week. I am so thrilled that you are here with me to dabble in my babble.